Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Last week, we began a look at one of these gospel topic essays, and there have been several that the LDS Church has put out over the past several months. But the one we were focusing on last week and that we hope to continue looking at this week is the one that is titled, Are Mormons Christian? And of course, this is the million-dollar question. This is the question that has caused the division between those within traditional Christianity and, of course, the claim that the Mormons have that they represent true Christianity.
So often we're told by Latter-day Saints that they are Christian just like us.
Yes.
How should a person respond to this, Bill, if somebody comes up and tells them that they're Christian too, just like you?
Well, first of all, when I have a Mormon say that to me, I will say, well, what kind of a Christian do you think I am? And I don't mean morally, I would say theologically. What do you think I believe as a Christian? And usually when they start telling me some of the things they think I believe, it becomes readily apparent that there's some huge differences between us. And if they are really a Christian just like us, we can kind of play with that and jokingly say, well, then I guess I'm a Mormon just like you. I'm not saying that's the most sound argument you could ever bring up, but it certainly does spark a little bit of a conversation, because if you were to say that you must be a Mormon just like them, the Mormon is going to certainly disagree, because they know for a fact that there are a lot of theological discrepancies between our two faith traditions.
Well, Princeton theologian B.B. Warfield, this is what he said, and we quote this a lot when we do a lot of speaking, because I think this really sums up why we hold to the idea that Mormonism is not Christianity. He said, "People who set upon calling unchristian things Christian are simply washing all meaning out of the name. If everything that is called Christianity in these days is Christianity, then there is no such thing as Christianity. A name applied indiscriminately to everything designates nothing."
I think that's absolutely true. And I think if the Mormons really believe that they represent true Christianity, they need to stop acting as if we play a role in that type of a name. We don't, if Mormonism is true. Now, it could be because they understand they are the underdog, and they are trying to gain the acceptance from the rest of the Christian community. And of course, this is one way of trying to gain that, is by not coming right out and saying, well, all you other Christians are certainly no Christians at all. So really what they're doing is they're patronizing us, which that offends me right off the bat. But I think we need to be very clear in what we are saying. We need to articulate very clearly what we are really trying to get across here. If the Mormon Church represents true Christianity, and only Mormons represent true Christians, there's only one other option. You must be a false Christian if you don't belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, I think we need to read from this essay at this point and be able to explain to our listeners what we're talking about. They have a section called Latter-day Saints Believe in a Restored Christianity, and this is what they write. Another premise used in arguing that Latter-day Saints are not Christians is that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints does not descend from the traditional line of today's Christian churches. Latter-day Saints are not Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, or Protestant.
Now let me stop you there, because 15th President Gordon B. Hinckley elaborates on this premise that is being made in this essay. And notice, folks, we use the word they. We really don't even know who wrote this essay. We don't know who's been writing any of these essays. They seem to be more on a scholarly level, which makes me think it's not coming from the general authorities in the church. It could be BYU professors that are writing them. But the fact that they are found on LDS.org, an official website of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, does give the essays a sense of officiality. So I think it would be fair for us to be able to point to these essays when we are having our discussions with our Mormon friends and relatives. Now, getting back to that statement by Gordon Hinckley, what did Hinckley say about this very issue that you just read?
He said they, the Mormons, are generally classed as Protestants since they are not Catholic. Actually, they are no closer to Protestantism than they are to Catholicism. Neither historically nor on the basis of modern association, theology, or practice can they be grouped with either. Suffice it to say that its theology, its organization, and its practices are in many respects entirely unique among today's Christian denominations. And that's found in What of the Mormons? It's a non-paginated tract from 1976.
Here we find Gordon Hinckley's making it very clear, and I will quote it again. Suffice it to say that its theology, its organization, and its practices are in many respects entirely unique among today's Christian denominations. Well, that goes back to what B.B. Warfield was saying. If you're going to give the title Christian to someone who doesn't hold to really any of the major beliefs of what Christians have been known for throughout history, then giving them that title really makes no sense. Let's do this a little bit differently. Let's say with Islam. Let's say that a person claims to be a Muslim but doesn't hold to the basic premises of Islam. Do you think a Muslim is going to allow them to hold to that title if they don't hold to the basic teachings of Islam? Of course they wouldn't.
Well, that'd be ridiculous. I mean, a person who says, well, I reject the five pillars of faith, and they go through all the things that I don't believe Allah is God. I don't believe Muhammad is his messenger. I mean, you're going to get stares and you're going to be booted out of whatever mosque you're telling somebody that you too are Muslim.
And I think we need to reiterate, I know that Gordon B. Hinckley, whom we just quoted, was very upset about the fact that there were some Mormon fundamentalists. He didn't like the term Mormon fundamentalist. Hinckley was offended that they would use the word Mormon. So I think Mr. Hinckley was being a little bit hypocritical when he feigns this offense that we would be troubled by them using the title Christian. He has a problem when others use the title Mormon, but the irony in all of this is that the fundamentalist Mormon groups, the polygamist groups, are much more consistent with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and their theology than we would ever be. But yet, Mormons want to sound like they are closer to us than even their polygamous cousins that believe in many ways just like Mormons do today. But when he says they're entirely unique, that's the issue, folks. He has admitted this uniqueness, and this is what we are examining. How unique are they? If they are so unique that they don't represent Christianity and all of its major tenets, then certainly they should not be allowed the title of Christian, because then the word means absolutely nothing.
Continuing on in this essay, let's just look and see why they think that theirs is more true. Latter-day Saints, they write, believe that by the ministering of angels to Joseph Smith's priesthood authority to act in God's name was returned or brought back to earth. This is the quote-unquote restored, not a quote-unquote reformed Church of Jesus Christ. The Latter-day Saint belief in a restored Christianity helps explain why so many Latter-day Saints from the 1830s to the present have converted from other Christian denominations. These converts did not and do not perceive themselves as leaving the Christian fold. They are simply grateful to learn about and become part of the restored Church of Jesus Christ, which they believe offers the fullness of the Lord's gospel, a more complete and rich Christian church, spiritually, organizationally, and doctrinally. So what they're saying, Bill, here is they're not reformed, they're restored.
In other words, they claim to believe and practice like the first century Christians believed and practiced. Yet, we have been challenging the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to put up or shut up. Show us where in the first century Christians were believing and practicing the things that you claim to believe and practice. For instance, last week I made mention of the Council of Nicaea. Are we really to believe, since they were discussing the issue of who is God, was Jesus God, were they arguing at all at the Council of Nicaea? Were those men that were involved in the disputes and the debate that was going on in 325 AD, Did any of those men bring up the notion that there were three gods within the Godhead? Did any of them bring up this notion that somehow God was a glorified, perfected human being who was not always God? Of course not. You won't find any of this type of evidence anywhere in Christian church history, because nobody was believing that. And yet it's an argument from silence on the part of the Mormon to try and give us this defense that somehow they are believing and practicing the way the early Christian church did. Where's your evidence for this?
Notice what they said. Most complete and rich Christian church. I want to give you a quote out of Preach My Gospel, which is published by the LDS Church, page 65. This is why they believe that they are the most complete and rich Christian church. They write, "The priesthood authority needed to perform this ordinance, which was lost centuries ago through apostasy, was restored through the prophet Joseph Smith." It all goes back to Joseph Smith. "Only through membership in the church can one receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This authority," quote, "makes the church different from any other religion in the world. By the Lord's own declaration, it is the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth." That's from Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 30.
So, Eric, since you're not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you don't have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I would not have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Think about this, Christian. Does it make any sense at all to say that a person can be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit when it's the Holy Spirit that brings a person to faith in the first place? How can that be? That would be a huge inconsistency. If the Mormon Church wants to hold to what you just read, Eric, then let them also be consistent and just come right out and say it. That if you don't belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you have no right to claim to be Christian. I would be much happier with that claim. And it's not that I don't find bits and pieces of that claim throughout some of the statements they make, but when they act as if we can all be Christians and yet believe things that are so diverse, I would say, wait a minute, there has to be a boundary, because then it goes back to the quotation that you cited earlier by B.B. Warfield. If you give that title to everybody indiscriminately, it has no meaning whatsoever.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by your LDS friend? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons' Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose. Now you'll have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Questions such as, wouldn't you like to have your marriage and family endure for all eternity? And what's wrong with praying about the Book of Mormon are dealt with in a straightforward but loving manner. Available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, 1358 West Temple in Salt Lake City. Or, if you prefer, you can order online at mrm.org. That's mrm.org. Answering Mormons' Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.